It's WMFO in Medford. Some beautiful local power pop there to end our set. Danny the K, a.k.a. Dan Kopko, brand new record coming out called Cigarettes and Silhouettes and Other Songs, That was Roller Derby Girl. Really, really great. So happy to have that song. Nice work, Dan. Just love playing that. Before that, the Peep Temple. Hey, I didn't come up with a band name. The Peep, P-E-E-P-T-E-M-P-E-L. Love the song from 2016's album called Joy. That was Neuroplasticity. Mm-hmm. Yep, I said it. Sonic Youth, just before that, from a while ago, called Cool Things, spelled with a K, of course. Why would it be a C? New York Dolls, 1974's record called Into Much Too Soon. That was Who Are the Mystery Girls? One of many musical questions over the years, without an answer. And Group Love was the brand new noise of that set. They have a new record called I Want It All Right Now. And that was Eyes. All right, this is WMFO. I have some guests coming up. New York's own The Midnight Callers, just a phenomenal power pop band, will be here a little bit after 10, but I want to play you a couple of special spins. About 3 weeks ago now, we had our spring edition of Live Day here at WMFO. We had a great bunch of local bands, and one of whom was Little Billy Lost. They played just like two doors down the hall in Studio D. Want to play something from that session called World. It'll blow you away. And I want to play something from Nikki Luparelli. Nikki is a local performer as well, and she's just got a beautiful voice. She does a lot of cabaret stuff, and she does a lot of great, great work covering artists that she loves. So she's going to be doing a double bill on July 8th, which is right around the corner, at the Somerville Theater with Cara Brindisi. And Nikki's going to be doing the catalog of Lana Del Rey, and Cara is going to be doing Taylor Swift, and our friend Mike Barry is going to be playing bass for Cara. So Nikki did that whole show with Lana Del Rey's songs a couple of months ago over at the Planetarium. Right here in Boston, and that's a nice room, huh? So it's going to be a live record that's going to be released from that. I've got a advanced single from that called Video Games. It is a Nikki cover of Lana Del Rey. So let me play those two tracks. Again, World, from right down the street here, the hall in WMFO. It's called World, followed up by Nikki, and then we'll be back with our guests live here at WMFO.
We're being invaded. Hey! Like the edge of a knife, who wasn't looking for a fight. Found my way downtown. There's no time. Saturday night, everybody's uptight. Tensions are high, you better keep it inside. If you're feeling alright, you better keep your head down. We all need to know where the world's letting go. It's like living in a bad dream, not a Hollywood classic. We all need to know where the world's letting go. It's like living in a bad dream. Time to catch the last train. Just let go. No risk, you can't hide. They want you beat with no pride. Everybody duck down, live in fear of that sound. Hit the ground. Wait, 2 days, two nights. Heaven stuck, don't dare try. Time of feeling let down. Dig a hole in the ground. It's just a matter of time. We all need to know when the wild's letting go. It's like living in a bad dream, a Hollywood classic. We all need to know when the wild's letting go. It's like living in a bad dream. We're trying to catch a last train. Thank you. need to know.
I'm out of breath.
Swinging in the backyard, pull up in your fast car, whistling my name. You open up a beer, you say get over here, play a video game. I'm in his favorite sundress, watching me get undressed, take my body downtown. I say you're the bestest, leaning for a big kiss, put his favorite perfume on, go play a video game. It's you, it's you, it's all for you, everything I do, I tell you all the time. Heaven is a place on earth with you. Tell me all the things you want to do. I heard that you like the bad girls, honey. Is that true? It's better than I ever even knew. They say that the world was built for two. Only with living if somebody is baby, now you do. Singing in the old bars, swinging with the old stars, living for the fame. Kissing in the blue dark, playing pool and wild darts, video games. He holds me in his big arms, drunk and I am seeing stars. This is all I think of. Watching all our friends fall in and out of old balls. This is my idea of fun, playing video games. It's you, it's you, it's all for you. Everything I do, I tell you all the time. Heaven is a place on earth with you. Tell me all the
It's WMFO in Medford, 10:12 in the morning.
Thank you so much.
There you go. You're welcome. Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, it was a live recording. It was a live recording. That was Nikki Luparelli, recorded live over at New Museum of Science's Planetarium. If you know that room, and if you live around here, you certainly do. What a great venue to have a concert. And that was recorded there a couple of months ago, and it's going to be part of a live album that's coming out. And that was an advanced single. Thank you, Mike Barry, for sending that over. Lana Del Rey cover called Video Games. And Little Billy Lost. Wow. From just down the hall, from their first EP back in 2018, that was live in Studio D here at WMFO called World. All right, at 10:12 in the morning, I've got a bunch of really nice people here in the studio, which I really like. Dan Anklin is here, the promoter du jour. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, folks.
I asked you to say hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Yeah. All right, so he's here, and photographer, you are?
Matthew Street's
here, taking pictures, and we have two members of the Midnight Callers. We have Martin, who is a guitar player, lead guitar with the band. Welcome.
Thank you.
Test the microphone. Let's make sure it works.
Hey, hey.
Oh, there he is. Oh,
there he is.
All right, so it's Martin. Welcome. And we have Chris, also guitar player, rhythm guitar.
The better guitar, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys are just trouble, I can tell. You've been that way. So we've never met, and all of a sudden, you just, like, ingratiate yourself into my brain. This is good. I like it. And I just want to say something about... There's two other people, too, just to give them some due. We have Julian, who also is in the band. He plays drums. And we have Marley, and I'm gonna do this.
All right.
You know what I'm gonna do.
All right. Here it comes.
I'm here to support you if you get it wrong.
Marianthopoulos.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
Oh my God, I did it.
Yeah.
All right. He's the bass player. And something that's in common with all of you four guys, and it isn't necessarily the case, you all do vocals in the band, all of you.
Mm-hmm.
Power pop band, four part vocals, four part harmony. You're not messing around.
No, we even make the French guy do harmonies. So
we do.
That's an extra challenge, an extra hurdle.
We make him sing lead every now and then, too. Yeah.
Well, listen, anybody who listens to me, and there's maybe two or three, and they know that power pop is something I mention like every week. Because, we all love music, but power pop just does it for me. And it's hard to describe what it is, but you know it when you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll argue with people, no, that's not really, is Guided by Voices. People have all kinds of, but we love it. You know, and it's catchy hooks, and it's background vocals that sway, and it's grungy guitars, and it doesn't have to be up-tempo, it can be anything,
mm-hmm.
but power pop is it. And you guys formed, like, in 2018?
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? Now, how did the four of you disparate folks come together?
I'll start, because it started kind of, so I was in a New York-based band, kind of like mod rock power pop. There goes the word again, power pop of the day.
So, use it liberally.
So yeah, I was in like a mod rock band called London Egg for a few years.
London Egg?
Yes, London Egg. Check out their stuff. It's on, I think we got one album on Spotify. It's pretty good.
Okay.
And that's where I met Julian. He came in as a drummer.
He's from Paris, France. So was he here for work or for school or what?
He moved here for work with the goal. He actually grew up outside of Paris in a town my wife and I visited him. I think population 200. Like, they were very proud that they just got a store in the town.
Okay.
Like, it was one of those kind of towns.
I see.
And he moved to the U.S. literally to be like, I want to, get a good job and be in a U.S. rock band. Well, unfortunately for him, he joined my band. But we met, we hit it off. And just from there, we would be driving to gigs. And every now and then we'd, be playing, I'd be playing him demos or songs that I'd written or things like that. And he was like, oh, this is great. We should record it. And I go, it's not really London mod rock, dandy rock stuff. This is a little different. So, yeah, we'll see. Maybe I'll switch it around. He goes, no, you should just record it. Well, as some bands do, London Egg kind of imploded. And then we, Julian said, you know what? I think you should really dig out those demos and let's record something.
Nice.
So we did that. We recorded under some cockamamie name I made up, Chris Payne and Letter Train, just to make it sound like a big band. And when we wanted to start playing live shows, we were like, oh, crap. Like, we needed actual good musicians to play this stuff. So then I put out a Craigslist ad, as you do.
Yeah.
And I think I was just looking for, like, lead guitar player or something. And I mentioned some of our influences, which for me was Cheap Trick, in
really Cheap Trick
raspberries. And then I mentioned Big Star, and so I got an email from a guy named Martin Stubbs who was basically like, all right, anyone who likes Big Star, I'll at least talk to them.
Yes.
So then Martin joined up probably 2017-ish, late 2017.
I'm not good with dates, but that sounds right.
Right around there. And then you know, we had like three songs recorded that I did with Julian, but then we decided to just record our first album, but we had no money to do so. So I begged, borrowed, and, you know, gave some wine to my parents and said, hey, can we come up to Massachusetts and take over your living room and, you know, put a drum set up and record? So we actually recorded our first album in my parents' living room.
In Attleboro, Massachusetts.
In Attleboro, Mass. Mm-hmm. You know, like the pictures of me as a baby on the wall and everything. It was real embarrassing. And then we were done with the actual instrumentals, and then we kind of looked at each other and said, there's no way we're going to be able to pull off recording vocals in a professional manner. So then we actually pulled in Kurt Ryle from the Gripweeds. He had a studio down in New Jersey, so we moseyed on to a real big boy studio to do the vocals and recorded everything there. And then the rest is kind of history. We put out our first record, Red Letter Glow, on Gem, October of 2020.
Yeah.
And, you know, great time to release an album, you know.
There was so much creativity during the plague, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So growing up in Attleboro, was it a musical house you grew up in?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, my parents weren't, like, crazy musicians. They weren't playing a lot of instruments. They know how to play. My dad knows how to play guitar. My mom played, like, violin, I think, in the high school band. But there was just music always playing, always around. And I think that's, you start to just soak it in. And then you hit that magic age of, like, 12 or 13 where music really hits you in the gut.
You picked up a guitar?
I actually picked up bass, and I always insult Marley when I say this, but I picked up bass first, and nothing is less cool at a party than when, you know, a guy's playing guitar, and you're like, well, I play bass too, and no girl
Speaking from experience, obviously.
Yeah, so no girl wants to hear the bass player do a solo, so I switched over at like 17 to guitar, played it throughout college, and just been sticking with that and let Marley take over.
And you're the rhythm guitarist, so that's a particular role in a band. Do you ever find that you have a hankering to do a lead solo or something, or do you just strum chords like you're supposed to? Sometimes you do.
I desperately don't want to. I've been so lucky in all my bands, even in high school. Like, there was always like that shredder kid in high school that I'd be in a band with, so I never had to. And I hate it, but then Martin will just be like, oh, no, you're doing the solo in this song, and I'll just wince.
I'll be in the audience tonight, and you know what? I'm going to shout to you. So since I mentioned that, these guys are playing tonight at the C-Note in Hull with Girl with a Hawk and Glowbox. Show starts when?
Oh, man, you're the show guy.
9, something?
Doors are at 7:30 at C-Note, and the show starts at 8.
And who goes on first?
Girl with a Hawk.
Okay, and you guys close the day, the night?
We're going to go right in the middle. We're going to do a kind of a Boston sandwich. So it's
that's
be
the best one.
Girl with a Hawk, us, and then Glowbox will be wrapping up the night.
Now, do you know Glowbox from before? This is your first time.
We played with them at the IPO a few years ago.
So you know.
Yes, so I know.
You know about them.
We do.
Oh, yeah. All right. All right, well, pleasure to meet you, Chris. Good to meet a Massachusetts person. Okay. I would say what the nickname for us... but I can't say it on the air people that grew up in Massachusetts.
Well, people...
It's Mass.
I've been called a Mass blank because I just always say it's God's country and no one likes to hear that.
Not around here. No. All right, nice to meet you, Chris. So, Martin.
Yes.
You grew up in Philly.
I did,
What was your home life like? Musical?
So my mom was a professional opera singer.
Oh, my God, wow.
So she went to the London School of Music. She actually met my dad. She was the soprano in an opera, and he was in the choir. So, I don't know why she decided to hang out with my dad, being the choir guy. You know, that's like what is that, like the lead guitar player dating like the one of the backup vocalists or something? I don't know.
Bottom line was music, that magical thing.
So they met. He was in the choir, but he also plays classical piano. So my parents, both being huge classical music people, were really into like elaborate classic rock. Like, we had Bowie, we had Queen playing in the house all the time. We had, you know, Elton John, like Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
That's
kind
my
of the
thing,
road.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, you get those records and there's all of these things, these massive sounding things. And I liked Tchaikovsky when I was a kid, so anything that was big and loud and bombastic, like, that's where it started. So I picked up violin in like second grade, And then I played that for like 3 or 4 years, I want to say. And then my mom noticed that my interest in it was kind of waning. And so she was like, hey, if you keep practicing your violin, I'll, you know, I'll get you an electric guitar. And I was like, cool. And then the electric guitar came in.
The best kind of bribery.
Yeah. Yeah. And the electric guitar came in and the violin never got picked up again. She was right. Like, well, okay. So it was a bit of a trade, but yeah.
Yeah. So I noticed you said you like big sounds and things like that. Dear listeners, when you hear them, their stuff, this is true power pop. I mean, you're going to hear the big sound, the wall of sound, if you will. I'll just say, you know, Dan gave me the CD a couple of weeks ago, and I just got a chance to listen to it, you know, within the past week, and I didn't have any expectations. And if people saw me driving in the car when I was listening to it, they would have been like seeing me just go nuts, because you guys really do it up. I mean, power pop is what you do.
Hell yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just the best thing. So I read up on you guys a little bit, and I noticed that there's like at least four tenets that you guys share, and they're really important for a power pop band. First one is huge guitar riffs, as you were mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
Just love that stuff.
Yep.
You know, the grungy when it just comes in, and that's, you know. Okay, number two, harmonies. You know, gotta happen. You, Glowbox, Big Star, you know, all that good stuff. Here's maybe the most important one, sticky hooks. I noticed in your songs you've definitely got the sticky hooks. Not easy to do.
Yeah, it's. I think that's, you know, I remember talking to Marty from Gem Records when he signed us, because we were, I forget what he and I were talking about, and I was like, he's like, no, that's not your thing. And I was like, okay, what's our thing? He's like, big guitar riffs, big hooks, and harmonies. And I was like, oh, okay, so makes sense.
Now, speaking of Marty, he was one of the original founders, wasn't he? Like in 1970 or
yep.
something?
Oh, yeah, he was important records. That was like he was involved with, I think, bringing Live at Budokan to the States and things like that. He was, you know, he's been a mover and shaker in music for years.
Yeah. I was really I was surprised to read that he's still involved there.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a labor of love for him. I mean,
yeah.
All the bands on the label, you know, he does it because he loves it.
And it's Gem, J-E-M. Now, is it Gem Records or Gem Recordings? I saw that there was a change or something when he brought it back.
Know.
Do you know?
Yeah,
I wanna say
yeah, because it went away for a while and then came back, and
I'm
then it was.
Plead the fifth.
All right, where's the back of our album? Oh, it's Gem Records.
Gem Records. Okay.
Gem Records.
Dan has the Gem 50th T-shirt on.
He just turned his back to me, which I'll talk to you about later. All right, and the last one, I hadn't really heard of it, but right when you hear it, as a person that loves music, you have an idea of what it might be. Bonham Beats. Talk to me about Bonham Beats.
Well,
I saw it on YouTube. It was pretty cool.
Julian gets beat up a lot, I feel like, collectively by me and Chris, because he's the drummer, and sometimes he wants to show up to practice, right? And he just wants to, he's tired, you know? It's like he's had a day at work or whatever, and we're like, no, man, you don't get, we can all hang back. The drummer in a rock band never gets to sit back and be anything other than massive sounding. And so the Bonham Beats, I think for us, that's kind of where that came from.
Yeah, like,
it has to be huge.
I can turn up my amp, he can't, so he needs to just
no,
hit
he can't.
Harder.
Yeah.
But you know, when I saw it on YouTube, it's like people are like showing their best John Bonham drum riffs and mm-hmm. stuff. Is that really the basic? And how does it apply to Midnight Callers?
I think it's just everything that Bonham did was huge sounding. Yeah. Like technically speaking, like Julian is not really like a Bonham style drummer, but like everything that Bonham does when it's recorded, when it's live, it's just gargantuan, mm. right? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where that came from.
It's very cool. All right, I can't wait for people to hear what you guys sound like. So I picked four songs to play, and then you're going to treat us to a couple of live ones after that. But the first record that you did came out in 2020, we mentioned. It was Red Letter Glow, and it had a bona fide number one hit. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So what did that feel like? What is it like to have your debut record come out, and you just have such a huge song?
It was nice.
It's called 41 Miles to Roscoe.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. I remember getting the phone call from Marty when he said it got picked for Coolest Song. And, you know, Dan and I were just talking about all the old bands that, you know, I was listening to. You know, as a kid, I would be, you know, we'd go to church like good Catholic boys. Mm. And then we'd sprint to the car immediately after because the priest went too long and just flip on Little Steven's Underground Garage, mm-hmm. the syndicated radio show. And so you'd always be listening because I love that music. But then also there'd always be the coolest song in the world that he'd be pushing.
Yeah, so. But you guys got the coolest song of the year.
Yeah, well, we came in third. I'll be I'll be honest.
I wasn't going to say anything.
I know, but like, well, our label mates came in first, so we'll give the Weaklings some credit.
Okay. Well, they're kind of good too.
Yeah, we're better, but that's okay.
Yeah, like, everybody knows
but
that.
Like, so they came in first, and then Green Day, this little known indie band, came in second.
Who were they? Anyway?
Yeah, so then basically we came in first. But yeah, like hearing that we got that was huge, and so like getting a phone call from Marty and you know hearing him say, "Hey, you got a cool song," just for me at least was just like a cool full circle moment, so to speak.
Oh, it must be unbelievable. So that first record, Red Letter Glow, since it was your first, did you have access through Marty to like a great recording studio? And I noticed you recorded the new one in New Jersey at a studio. What was it like for the first one?
Well, the first one, yeah, like it was very DIY. I think, you know, we were broke, so we didn't have a lot of money to just like... we were broke.
Yeah, I heard.
So we, you know, didn't have a lot of money to throw into an album, and we were really... I think we didn't really have a lot of expectations for the album. We were honestly thinking it was just something to hawk at gigs, really. It was just here's our recorded music. If you like it, you can buy it, but that's about it.
See, and then it just blows up.
Yeah, and that was the cool part, was doing it DIY. We did go meet Kurt Ryle in the studio to do the vocals, because we needed that... polish of
and what is vocals. What is he like? I mean, because his music, I expect him. Yeah, okay, I expect him to.
This is the tell-all now.
Well, I mean, he's a genius. Let's give him that.
Oh yeah,
you know, and his reputation precedes him, and all the yada yada yada. Mm-hmm. But what is he like to work with?
For me, it was he's tough, and I mean that in the good way. Mm. I don't think Kurt does not allow mediocrity to go
That's
through
good. That's
his
good.
Speakers. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. He won't let you get away with like a. that one was fine. Maybe we'll use it. It's always like, especially with vocals. I think that's the most important thing. I mean, the first record, you can tell, we slapped a bunch of 57s in front of amps, and we used a laptop recording rig, but then you go and you listen to the vocals, it's like, oh, okay, these sound like someone who knew what they were doing recorded them.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, and so he definitely, you know, a great producer as a coach. They pull the best out of you.
It's good to hear that he's like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how many times it'd be, like, I'd finish a recording take and, like, you almost know when you're recording a take that it's not the best you could do, but you think maybe you've just fooled the producer into thinking it's the best. And so you'd finish the take and there'd be silence, and then, you know, Kurt has, like, that little handheld thing, so you just come out and be like, maybe next time just a little better.
Why don't we do one better?
He's not like aggressive. He's like, well, you maybe you could have maybe done a little better. Try again.
He truly is like a coach. I felt.
Oh, that's great. That's what you want.
Yeah, he knew that. Like, you know, there was things. I think a good producer understands the talent and needs to coach them to get to that place, and that's what Kurt really did. And also through his musical two cents into things, which did help. Immensely on each record, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would hope you get from a producer of that caliber, somebody like him. So 3 years, there was a new record that it just released called Rattled Humming Heart. Did you start recording it right away? Did you start thinking about it, or did that happen really in 2022 and 2023?
Well,
the pandemic happened, right?
Yeah,
the first record came out in 2020,
yep.
And then, you know, a lot of, I don't know, what, like 4 or 5 of the tracks were written kind of in isolation, which was weird for us. And so we wrote them, we had the bass tracks, and then Chris and I have a ton of demos. Like, we have a Dropbox account where we just, like, someone sings it into a phone and throws it up on Dropbox. And then some of the songs, like, one or the other of us will kind of come right in and be like, I have a thing, and it's 80% there. And it's like, all right, well, I'm going to mess with that. And then the other half of the time, it's like, he's got an idea or I've got an idea, and we, like, pull bits together and make the songs like that. So I think the first 4 or 5 tracks for the record, not like in order, but the first that we wrote, were kind of done in isolation, and we pulled them together with demos because we couldn't see each other. And then the remaining stuff was pulled together, you know, in person in our practice space by grabbing other demos. And then, yeah, we did. We went in with Kurt. We wanted to do a full studio, like we wanted to pay for a studio. And so we did. We did the whole thing at his place.
So are you two guys the principal songwriters? Or do you all contribute?
Yeah, we all, I mean, I guess you could say that Chris and I are the principal songwriters, but we have, like, songwriting is not a, we don't, you know, we typically haven't taken the approach of like, you know, the bass player just plays bass, because songs don't become what they are without the band that you play them with, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's, it's kind of, we're not big fans of that, like, you know, oh, no, well, all right, all the music, and you don't get any of the royalties, you know, and it's like, well, yeah, I don't know, man, if Keith Moon wasn't playing drums... Ooh,
I know, yeah.
Ooh, I don't want to, you know, but okay, you know.
I know.
So, I don't know, yeah.
And I feel like every time I listen to some of our songs back, like, I'll remember the weird little, or the time where, like, Julian might have said, hey, I'm going to do this fill here. Is that cool? And you're like, yeah, that works. And then when I listen back, I'm like, oh, that really makes a song. That's a great fill. So you can't say that, like, okay, anything the drummer's doing or the bass player's doing or any of the guitar players are doing doesn't count towards a song.
No, I mean, sure. It's got to be a cooperative, mm-hmm. Number one, just because it does. And if it isn't, feelings get hurt. It's a family. It's a marriage. And you can't have that. You've got to keep the peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure. All right,
so that's good. So, as I was starting to say, Rattled Humming Heart, tell me about how that title came about. I noticed that you don't have title tracks.
No, that's some weird, like, hurdle we put on ourselves.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's my fault or I forget who. It might be my fault.
All right, so what's the criteria for the titles that you come up for the records?
Well, we grabbed, I don't remember where Red Letter, actually, Red Letter Glow came from, we had band names that we were kicking around for a while, and the Midnight Callers won, and Red Letter Glow was up in the top five.
Okay.
And then when we were going for the name for that record, it was like right there, and it was like, we felt like that record kind of connoted the neon glow, East Village, dive bar vibe, right? This one, he says in step, this rattled humming heart, and I don't remember at what point I like listened to the vocal recording back. I was listening to a rough, and I was like, that's kind of cool. Like, I don't know, it captured the essence of the record, I thought.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll tell you a secret, and it's not going to be a secret anymore. You know, like, Dan will probably agree with me. I mean, we listen to a lot of music to audition it, kind of. And it's, you know, a couple of seconds at the beginning, and you go to the middle to hear if there's a nice break. And the first one you usually look for is a title track, because you figure, okay, they decided to name the record after that. So I was kind of intrigued by the fact that you didn't do that. But I kind of like it, you know, that you just found something that seemed to speak to the record, and it works. So Rattled Humming Heart was recorded in New Jersey, in Highland Park. And House of Vibes Studio, is that a studio that you knew of? Has it been there a long time? Is it kind of storied?
Yeah, it's
kind of a cool place.
Yeah, it's Kurt's place.
All right.
He's been there, God, I don't know how many years. But
he's been there for a while, yeah.
I heard of House of Vibes, like, again, the Gripweeds themselves were on Little Stevens all the time. So, like, you know, you just kind of start looking at liner notes. You can see that kind of stuff and where it was recorded. So definitely heard, you know, the name there. And then in my old band, again, they had worked with Kurt, so I met Kurt through them, and so we knew about House of Vibes that way. And then, yeah, it's just, again, it's always been a nice family kind of vibe at that place, so I think that's why a lot of great artists tend to gravitate there as well.
Well, good for you that you got to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the production quality is excellent. I just want to mention Keith Ryle, real producer?
Kurt. He's,
I said Keith.
Yeah.
I was tired when
Keith
I typed
Moon.
This.
Yeah, Keith
right.
Moon.
He plays like Keith Moon.
Ghost.
That's so funny.
His
Keith Ryle, Kurt Vile.
We have a hologram Keith Moon producing the record. It's pretty cool.
Well, I noticed your both of your brows furrowed at the same time when I said that.
I was like, did Kurt change his name?
All right, interesting. Like, you know what? There might be a misprint unless I just read it wrong on the one sheeter that you gave me.
Oh, I hope there's...
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the album. I was like, oh, that's...
I got to look back at that again. That's really, because I really thought it was Keith Ryle. That's so funny. All right, so I listened to the whole record through, and I did it three times because I, you know, damn you, I couldn't find the ones I wanted to pick. I asked Dan, I called him yesterday, and I was a wreck. I'm like, why didn't you warn me about this?
Just play the whole thing.
It's and fine. He just smiled through it, and he just said, I just wanted you to see what you thought. I told you every song was great. So I picked three, and I just want to, at 25 minutes of, I just want to sort of talk about a little bit about each one of the songs I picked. I picked Step! Exclamation point. You know, and right away when I heard the song, I'm thinking, are these people like Cheap Trick for real, and they're not, they just changed their faces by some science experiment?
It's just a joke. It's just AI joke.
Because, yeah, it's just what it sounded like to me. I mean, and you mentioned that, you know, not surprised that it's one of the influences, but does that enter into it at all? You sort of go like, wow, we really sound like, this is kind of Cheap Trickish. I like this. Or is it not even existent? And
I mean, he's the Cheap Trick. He's the big Cheap Trick dork. Yeah,
no problem with that.
Yeah.
I'm ugly Robin Zander on that track.
Oh, my God, yes.
Like, but no, I think, whenever you're, at least when I'm writing, you're always listening to something, and then when you start to demo it out a bit, you might go like, oh, we're really leaning into Cheap Trick territory here. We're going raspberries, or we're going Bowie, whatever it may be.
Well, this is what happened. Yeah. I mean, it was just a great listen. Then there's Baby Let Me Be. Grabbed me. I still can't get it. It's still there. Yeah, that one too. I mean, anything you want to say about any of these songs I'm mentioning?
You can thank Kurt for Baby Let Me Be getting on the record, because we had that as a demo and we were like, we feel like this is not like something here. It just feels like we smashed a bunch of stuff together and it's like really short and we don't know where this goes. And Kurt was like, dude, it's a nugget. Like, stop overthinking it. He's like, it's a little, you know, power pop snack. It's a piece of bubble gum, right? And you're like, all right, cool. And then it made it on the record. People love it.
It is. Like, oh, great. It is. And the third one I picked was What Goes Around.
Yeah, that one was one of the, Chris walked in with 80% of a song done to practice. And you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, that, okay. Yeah. And then we put an intro on it, and that was...
That was something that had been lingering around What Goes Around for a long time. Like, it was just one of those songs where I'm like, I feel like if we do it right, it'll be there and be a good song. And I had it in other bands, and it's literally been around, 10 years. And then
brought
it to these guys.
I can't tell you, but I will anyway, how often that happens when I'm talking to somebody here, mm-hmm. and they say, you know, I got a notebook. And it goes back to my college days, and it's like all tattered now. It's because I go back to it to get ideas. Mm-hmm. In your case, you know, you put things on Dropbox, you know, and in their case, it was a tattered notebook. But this is what happens.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times, some people have said, you know, even though we put this on the record, songs are never finished. Right. You can always tinker mm-hmm. with them, but you got to let it go.
Yeah. Right?
You know, but I hear mm-hmm. that all the time. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I definitely have a stack of old notebooks and things, and like
voice
I said,
memos.
Yeah, our Dropbox is becoming a graveyard for bad songs. You know, but there's also some good ones.
Oh, I don't know about that. So, I don't know about that.
Yeah, you know, we have a folder in our Dropbox, and I'm not allowed to say it on the radio.
No,
SH. You fill in the rest. That we just drag songs in. Once we dub them as bad, we'll just drag them into the SH.
You're gonna go back
folder.
To one of them. In 10
I know
years.
It's shiitake mushrooms.
Shiitake mushrooms. Yeah, and we'll put it in there because we don't want to let go to it just yet. We're not gonna delete it.
They're never done.
And then we'll go back and confirm that they're shiitake, and then be like, okay, they're gonna stay in that folder for now.
Yeah. Speaking of Japan. Anyway, so let's play these songs. I can't wait for you, dear listeners, to hear this band. This is from the first record that they put out in 2020 during the plague. And it was a bona fide hit, 41 Miles to Roscoe. Then we will play three from the new one called Rattled Humming Heart. We got Step! Exclamation point, I want to say. Baby Let Me Be. And What Goes Around. Okay, so why exclamation point?
We were talking about that the other day.
Yeah, literally just chatting about it, because he sent me a message, and he was like, oh, what about Step or something? And he put the exclamation point, and he goes, damn you for writing a song with punctuation at the end. And I go, I never put an exclamation point at the end of Step. And
how did it get there?
We actually don't know.
We literally have no idea.
We were trying to figure
Dan?
That out.
You don't
So now every time someone's like, Step! Exclamation point, we're like,
oh, so I'm not the only one?
Yeah.
Well,
no,
I'm the social media guy, and every time I type it out and it like auto capitalizes the next letter, I'm like, Chris, come on, man. Like, why'd you do that? And he's like, I didn't do that. I'm like, oh, wait, what? So I don't know. Kurt, I guess.
Yeah, we'll blame Kurt.
It's his fault.
He's
ghosts.
Not here, so that's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. All right. So at 10:39 in the morning, sneaking up on 10:40, I want to play these songs, starting off again with 41 Miles to Roscoe. And then from the new record, Step! Exclamation point. Baby Let Me Be and What Goes Around. Then we'll be back. And these guys are going to treat us to a couple of songs live. So this is the Midnight Callers here at WMFO right here in Medford.
Drinking the life that made me want enough to keep. Oh, Jackie, good enough is getting tougher now for me. This rattle coming hot won't let me give up.
Yeah.
back to you.
It's WMFO in Medford, 9:52. Sorry, 10:52 in the morning. I'm living in the past. I don't know what that is. We just heard Midnight Callers, even though they were recorded. I mean, that was just so good. We turned it up as loud as it goes. From their first record, Red Letter Glow, there was 41 Miles to Roscoe. Then three from Rattled Humming Heart. There was Step! Exclamation point, as we've established. Baby Let Me Go and What Goes Around. Guys, that was just fantastic.
Thanks.
And now you're going to treat
you.
Us to a couple songs live. That's why you've got your guitars, because it'd be silly otherwise if you
right.
weren't going to play.
You just don't know how to be in public without them. That's
no. So you're going to play, the first one you're going to do is New York Tramp.
Yep.
Yep. And tell us a little bit about that one.
New York Tramp was like, I had a very dear friend of mine pass away over the pandemic, and we were in the middle of writing the record, and you know, you go through a lot of stuff when someone close to you, you know, when you lose someone close to you, and he was just like, I wanted a song that was the celebration of his life. And so he was just like the embodiment of New York City. He'd always be out to go out to a pool hall until 4 a.m. on a Tuesday night. He knew every cool spot in the East Village. He knew all the cool spots in Brooklyn. He was just,
cool.
You know, and so a lot of people are like, well, then why'd you use the word tramp? And tramp to me just kind of, he was a wanderer, a rambler, always kind of living life day to day. And I don't know, the word tramp just kind of stuck with me.
So. And what was his name?
Ian.
Ian. All
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Cool. So. Cool to hear about Ian.
Yeah.
All right. And then the next one, Girl on the Run.
Yeah. It's you.
This one really, just again, another lingerer in terms of lyrics sitting uh-huh. around in the notebook. And I kind of wanted to do a little bit of that. It's hard to do acoustically, but a little bit of that Spectre beat sound. So, you know, Girl on the Run. Yeah. I mean, it's just a.
All right. So here's Midnight Callers live doing some acoustic stuff, starting with New York Tramp. And can I have this pick up your guitars here?
All right. Ready?
This town's ever had it.
man, he ain't a coming back. He ain't a coming back, he's left for good. No, I can't see you waving goodbye. Well, tell me why'd he have to go so soon? Tell me why'd he have to go so soon? Tell me why so soon?
Midnight Callers, Girl on the Run, live, Studio A.
3, 4.